and welcome to Niche Podcast. But the one thing I know something about game shows, I suppose. I'm your host, Ren Haas, and I got some news. Yeah, obviously you don't need me to explain this. You are looking at the title or something. And I'm going to go through all of this again. This is the Super Secret Series finale. Or Super Secret Season finale. I'm more leaning towards a season finale than a series finale. I love talking game shows. It's been obviously a fun ride for a few years. Just every week or so trying to get friends to talk about game shows, or just me going solo to talk about game shows. And it's a fun television genre, and I will get into that nonstop in tonight's episode. I'm recording this literally like weeks after my birthday, March of 2024. My mom is in the hospital. She thinks this is it, and she might die. She's leaning towards this is it. This could be it. I love you. Good night. And it's tough to wrap that around for a good chunk of time. And I wanted to make this episode before I start weeping and crying about all that. Because to me, I'm going to be all alone. And I don't want the silliness to be, but at least I have my game shows and sound like some psychotic freak. I love this genre television, but to be truly alone is very sad. I've been taking care of my mom since 2019, when I had to first postpone game shows, I suppose. I had to take a break, and then COVID hit, and everyone started doing podcasts. Suddenly a lot more game show podcasts happened. What began as like getting guests became solo sessions when I can, that became these little mini segments that I don't like this. It's just a bad deal of the cards for me to continue this series. And it sucks a lot of ass because to me, I love chatting about game shows. I love to talk shit about a lot of these game shows. A lot of these, my friends work on, and I think I ruined a lot of friendships along the way. But for me, it's because there's a lot of cool things about game shows. And I wanted this episode, and that's why I'm just prefacing this, to be the big celebration of game shows and why I love them and what people can do better on and what we can look forward to in the future. Because most likely this will be uploaded January 2025 when the rest of the archive is gone. Any new episodes typically air on a Wednesday or a Friday when I feel like it in between all of the archives. And I just, for me, I want to keep going. It's like, but wait, Say When is a good game show, and Three on the Match is a good game show. And hey, you didn't talk about this show and that show. And what about that weird bullshit Yahtzee game show with Tom Kennedy? What about My Dad is Better Than Your Dad? Remember that shit show on NBC? And the list keeps going there and there. And it's like that whole purpose of game shows, I suppose, is it's my favorite genre of television. I love breaking down these shows. And I want to share that weird hyperfixation with the internet. But not in a YouTube series. And I think that's where I fucked up. Maybe if I did a YouTube series and I talk about who done it like Drew Gooden, maybe this would be good. But no, the fun part about game shows is they're for everybody. And a good chunk of modern YouTubers are doing media criticism. And some of them talk about game shows. And I'm really excited about that. But it should be me, because I started it. No, I didn't even start it. Like Game Show Newsnet did before me. Chuck Donegan did before me. Even like the Buzzer Blog people did before me. Bothers Bar used to do it. So for me, it's just I want to keep going. But if push comes to shove, I would want to just sparingly talk about game shows if I get more free time. In my head, I'm thinking right now at the moment, assume my mom is right. Assume she is any time between now and the January 2025, she goes kaput. What then? For me, because I want to at least have some sort of say in the flow of the cards, would like to take as much time as possible to figure shit out for the future, not just like internet bullshit, which is what I'm trying to make this sound like, but actual IRL things like housing, like work, like food, all of that stuff, credit card bills, like everything. And it's tough. And I hope my intuition is wrong and she's still awake and alive. But she has been getting worse, and I might have to take her word on it. Additionally, it's heartbreaking for me because I'm, again, even though I love this, and I'm using it kind of to distract from the sadness and shit, it's not healthy at all to distract oneself from serious shit. I don't want to be movie Bob of game shows, but I need to talk about Smush. No. So instead, what I decided to do is make a somewhat season finale, series finale, this episode. So it's a goodbye, if it has to be. And in many ways, it's a good culmination as well. There's thousands of fucking game shows, and I want to talk about all of them in one form or another. So, anyway, let's begin. So, hey, I drank a Celsius, and now we got all that sad shit out of the way. Thoughts and prayers to my mom. If I get sad sometime, you'll know about it on whatever social media is left. If Elon Musk doesn't fucking blow up the moon, or the presidential election, or whatever it is. Anyway, so let's get into this. One of my first thoughts was in a game shows, I suppose, is continue to do the best game shows list and continue doing game show reviews. I think for me, I would go insane if I don't talk about a new game show or some new fixation, because to me, I feel like a lot of game shows exist just for the sake of existing. And for watching so many different games, it's like, oh, the chess clock, and oh, this is, and it's like, I can point to different games and how they did it. And is it better or worse on this show than the others? I love doing that. So I think that's going to stick around if I ever get the chance. Without a doubt, I want to keep the annual tradition of what's my favorite game show alive. Because to me, this year's one, even though it was very quick, had some very good thoughts about a lot of game shows and a lot of year in review things, such as Deal or No Deal and Deal or No Deal Island and all. And I came to the conclusion to Press Your Luck. Now, this is again the future. I don't know. Is Press Your Luck canceled? It could be. We could very well be seeing a new Deal or No Deal again. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds right now. 3 months into 2024 for an episode at the beginning of 2025. But for me, I'm thinking of like how fun it is talking about these shows and coming up with my favorites. Because maybe Taskmaster is good again. I don't know. I love Taskmaster. Let's see it in the United States, Joel McHale. Easy peasy. Fox should be the one to do it because they have that whole dynamic with Joel and Ken Jeong. It could work. Don't give it to Comedy Central or CBS. You could even give it to ABC. anyway, The Genius Game is on ITV. I hope it's great. I don't know. David Tennant, the creator, in air quotes, sounds like fun. Hopefully it's good enough that there's an American version. I might apply to that. Who knows? But for me, I love to write. If it's not talking about game shows, it's writing about it. I used to be like one of those keyboard warriors who's like, dabba, 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 dabba. And I would love to do that in some capacity. So for me, if I ever can get back into writing and get back and have that creative thought again that I used to have, I used to be funny. I used to be clever and witty. Not so depressing, it turns out. And when those were the days, I would have wanted to do a Game Shows, I Suppose book. The same reason like Defunkland had a book. Because to me, I love that whole learn about different game shows, but it's not an Adam Neidiff book. Adam is researched. I am an idiot. And I'm like the comedian's version of a game show glossary. Because there's so many bizarre game shows all over the world. People got excited about Schlagden Star, Schlagden Rob, Schlagden Hensler for having that pretzel cut game. Boy, if this was Spike TV in the 2000s, you would eat that shit up. But not this time. Anyway, so for me, I want to do a book. That is one of my end goals now, is if I ever have the patience to write, I will. If I ever had the chance to go back into podcasting, this will be the first. I would go back into this. But for me, I have to think of what to do for the future. And what's content creation going to be like in not just this year, but 5 years, 10 years? Because it's such a flaky, shaky world. For me, I would love to continue having like a secret game show thing like here on this feed. But I would love to literally like try and actually shoot my shot and actually make a game show. There's two game shows I really want to do. One is like a pub quizzy trivia show that I think works in so many levels because it's a little silly, a little goofball, very Jackbox, and I think it could work if you get the right people in play. You know, your content creators, your smart Alex, your kind of people that know a little bit of everything and isn't afraid to be a little silly. The other one, like a game show I would love to apply for, is basically where my thought process is. Like, if there was a game show I would want to be on, what would that game show be like? And I had the thought. And the other was single-handedly, like, my in creative envision of like what a game show should be in the modern internet era. And it has a big budget. Unfortunately, it's like, crap, I might need an agent, or I need to be a big like YouTuber like Mr. Beast to actually get a shot at making this in Hollywood, which is not going to happen. But if ever did, this is like the dream game show. Like, even more than Deal or No Deal, even more than, like, a Treasure Hunt revival, this game show, it's like, this is the dream original game show I would do. So it's, for me, I would want that. And I wish I could explain more, even in the future. But the problem is, you know, intellectual property laws, and, oh, I thought of it, you didn't think, you can say shit out loud, but it's not trademarked, someone else can copy it. I hate that rule. Because I wrote out, like, 10 pages of things about what I want in this show. Oh, well, so I had those two game show ideas in mind. And both of them on the internet. But one is very inexpensive, and the other one, very expensive. And by very expensive, I mean, like, okay, we can't give away just $10,000 and call it a day. We don't want to, like, the newest $1 million game show idea is kind of the best way I can kind of hint at what it is, but it's not a $1 million game show. It is, but it isn't. It's not Limitless Win, But it could give away $1 million, and that scares the shit out of me. So that was my idea. Like, if I ever win the lottery, there's your show idea. So those are the two. Well, like, those are like the career paths I want to do in the world of game shows. For me, that internet thing would work, and the other internet thing would work, but on a different reason. One on a budget, one on an over budget, but still a little under budget. I know how to work around. Anyway, for me, it's this, what's the career path going to be like? I want to talk about games. I want to talk about the internet. I want, like, all these little things. Like, I want to do this. I want to do that. But I don't think I'll ever have time. Again, taking care of my mom has put such a toll on me. I barely get sleep. I lose my creative focus. I cry constantly. And I want to go back into it. And at the same time, I'm well into my 30s, and I know my career is pretty much over on the internet. You have to do the viral TikTok meme dances now. Is there still TikTok? I heard the government banned it, but I don't know. Anyway, for me, I want to do more. I want to do more in the world of game shows. I want to do more on the internet. I want, like, an actual computer that can edit videos and an actual good microphone. It's not just this little stick thing, like an actual lavaliers and actual tripods with HD cameras, like SLRs, like actual YouTube bullshit. So I could actually give it a go. Because I honestly think if I actually had the time and I actually had the money to afford all these resources, I would already be a number one internet sensation, and I'm egotistical enough to say that. But I'm also egotistical enough to know that's not going to happen as well. Anyway, so let's go into the subject at hand. I want to do those things. I don't know if I will, but stay tuned. Maybe I will get that book done. Maybe I will have a YouTube channel that's actually not just me playing video games. Or maybe it is. I don't fucking know anymore. I want to talk about game shows more often, but I don't know if I'll have the time in January 2025. I might be sobbing. I might be dead. Who knows? But here is the big thing. Game shows. A big reason I want to go into it. Like, why game shows? Why the fuck is Jordan so loving of game shows? Well, there's a bunch of reasons, and hopefully I'll get through all of them. I kind of vamped for about 20 minutes here. So I started out with my grandma watching game shows, because she's a game show nerd herself. The reason she likes it is because she grew up in a sports field. So for her, she was a housewife who watched a lot of game shows back in the 50s and 60s. So her thought process is, this is just like a sport. And so she loved a lot of game shows. Her favorites were like The Price is Right and with Bill Cullen, and then later Bob Barker in the 70s. But her real favorite was True for Consequences. And she kind of kept saying, you should watch this, you would like it. That was her, like, recommendation for me. And yes, I do like it. I think she would love the shit out of Game Changer if she was alive today. She would just fall in love with that show because of how over the top and outrageous it is. So I love game shows because of her. Then the USA Network existed in 1989, and those were all reruns of Press Your Luck, for instance, and that Scrabble with Chuck Woolery. So that was like a good chunk of shows I watched. Then, of course, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and all these other shows would exist. I would watch a little bit of Price is Right, but remember, that was like the 10 o'clock show in the morning, and this isn't like YouTube, where you could just simply watch old episodes. It's like a time before the internet for me. I can't watch everything. So that leads me to just whatever was available. Most of the time, Genesis versions of Family Feud and Wheel of Fortune. So I play a lot of video games to offset that. I watch a lot of Cartoon Network. Cable TV was all the rage. GSN didn't exist yet. That was the next shoot a drop. Watched a lot of Family Channel when they had things like I'm Telling and Wild Animal Games. So it became a lot of fun. So it's like been a whole thing of game shows. And then when I got the internet at an early age, it's like, oh, wow, there's like a whole Price is Right website. And that's when it kind of sparked the whole international game show thing. Because to me, I was always like one of those like, well, I can't be the only one in the world that likes game shows. So it was fun finding out things about like the Crystal Maze and Fort Boyard and Catchphrase. And like, so it's like, what is like the shows people watch in the UK and learning about Countdown when I was like 11? To me, that's like really cool when you're an American finding about Countdown and it's, you don't get to watch that, but you hear about it and you're like, oh, wow, this sounds interesting. And then you watch it like, well, it's interesting. It's a cool little show. So for me, that international game show thing was always fun. Because to me, I feel like I'm not the only one. There has to be some psycho out in the global sphere that is just like me about game shows, but isn't a weird American from California. Maybe they're a weird American from New York. Maybe they're a weird American from Texas. I'm just, or they're Canadian or Mexican, Japanese, Chinese. If they are from Israel because of all those formats, or Irish, or French, and it's cool that in my like 30 plus years of existing, as of this recording, I'm 35, I got to make friends all over the world about this. It's fun hearing like about British people fascinated by American game shows and vice versa. We're in the best time for game shows. So for me, I couldn't be happier. It is one of those things where it's like, I know if I was like vacationing in France, I'm not the touristy guy. I would want to eat food, go to like a French supermarket, and then go to whatever's their equivalent of a living room, but most likely be my hotel room and watch a French game show. And eat some French snacks. Because someone in France is obviously doing the same thing. Otherwise, this show would not exist. It's even if it's a Saturday primetime show. There's always people grabbing a snack, sitting on a couch or in their bedrooms, and watching a TV show. And to me, that is the most coolest, awesomest thing about this. It is light entertainment, and it's globally known. Also, it shows you how much of a weirdo I am that's like, ooh, I'm going to Greece. What am I going to do? I'm going to watch some Greek game shows. Like, huh? But that's just how I am. So for the fact it's on YouTube, it's like, oh, well, if I just get the snacks and watch some YouTube videos of some of these shows, I get a good explanation of what's going on, get a VPN going, and I know what Greek Big Brother is like. I get to know what Italian Deal or No Deal is like. It's great. It really is amazing, and I love it. But it's tough to explain half the time. For me, that's why I love game shows so much. They're international. They're a light entertainment thing. It could be everything and nothing at the same time. We've had shows where lives were changed because they threw millions of dollars on a single question or a flip of a coin or just luck in general. And we've had shows where there's nothing available as the prize except for maybe like a trophy. And they're just as fun to play along with as those shows. We've had shows where contestants have a dream list of things that they like and their dreams do come true. And then we had shows where the opposite holds true and we get to see dreams get shattered or lots of horrible things happen to people, like getting covered in snakes or having their possessions destroyed. It sucks. Game shows are like this great tool where we see every generation encapsulated from like the 90s to 2000s to 2010s. A lot of people want to be the messy asshole characters. Others want to be good people. We have the Great British Bake Off where everything's positive, and then you still have The Apprentice where people are thrown under the bus. It's very weird, but it's also one of the best genres I know. The reason I love game shows is there's thousands of them, but one that I really love is the fact that there's always something new. There's new and there's familiar. It doesn't matter which country you go to, at least in television sense, there's always like one that's like the anchor game show that's been on for like 50 years. Rather, it's like a Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy here, or Definition, I think would be an example in Canada, for instance, or a Countdown if we're talking the UK, and Mastermind, and then if we're talking France, Lettres et Chiffres, which I think is Letters and Numbers, which is their Countdown. You see Panel Quiz Tech 40 in Japan, which I think is gone now. But there's always these anchor shows. And then stay tuned, because there's this brand new game show where a comedian invites people to play this obstacle course. Or here's this show where couples have to figure out each other's strengths and weaknesses as they do things like that are always fun. And then it's like, well, let me see how that works. I don't think every game show producer has seen every game show. So it's always fun to see their take on something that I'm already familiar with. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. It doesn't matter. But the fact that there's always an anchor and a new always means that something could always be the next big hit. For instance, Wipeout. When Wipeout first came on the air, everyone says it's a Takeshi's Castle MXC ripoff, which I could definitely fucking see. But it lasted 8 seasons. It still was a bona fide hit. People love the big red balls, and they reboot it with John Cena. They have all of these like twists and turns. They make video games, and it was a hit. It's the best Matt Kunitz show on offer. So when we see different game shows, there's always a hesitancy to try it out. There's always a backlash. I remember that with Deal or No Deal. I remember that with The Price is Right. If you look back in the archive, people didn't like that at first. Same with Jeopardy. Same with Wheel of Fortune. A lot of game shows get a big pushback by TV critics. There's a few reasons as to why, and that's why I want to be the game show TV critic here to say what is a good game show and not. A lot of game shows are unscripted. A lot of them are cheap. A lot of them seem more fabricated, boring, or dull, or whatever. They feel like they belong in the daytime or the afternoon. I just think there's a lot of room more for game shows out there, but you have to be more risky, and a lot of them play it safe. We talked about for a moment their budgets. A lot of game shows these days on TV follow the GSN $1,000-$10,000 philosophy, where whoever wins gets $1,000 and a chance to win $10,000. I don't like that shit. It feels like fucking Family Feud, where it's they have a chance with $20,000 or $5 a point. Well, you got 120 points. That's $600. You'll be back tomorrow. Yuck. Just a yuck. But for me, it's such a great game show. It, like, game shows are so fun for me. When we look at like the glimpse of a game show, and I'm now going into TV reviewer critic mode, a lot of them get panned because they don't understand it, or it's more of like a reality show, and those are really trashy, so I don't blame them. But here's what makes a great game show. And I wanted to make this the... Oh, God, I'm choking. That's going to be the funniest way to end the show. Here's what makes a great game show. And then I die. That'd be funny. Game shows are great because they're an interactive television medium. They're the closest thing we have to video games as an occupation. When you watch a Let's Play video, sometimes they play like a quiz show, like Wheel of Fortune, and you want to play along and you go, you idiot, it's this. And you scream and you play along, you're in the chat, and they say, don't help me. It's that kind of philosophy that makes game shows so unique. It's that horror movie, don't go in there, and they go in there approach. Game shows that are great have that effect. And I love game shows that do that. I love game shows where you immerse yourself into the world that they build. You immerse yourself into who this contestant is, and here's a story. Even if they don't have to do the big long story of why they need the money, blah, 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 blah. Just that, oh, here's this contestant. They have to name five things in 60 seconds and they win. And you're just like, oh, well, I can kind of do that. So you play along. Then you're like intrigued by this game that you watch it again. The best way to describe a game show is, you know, like a board game. A lot of people will say, no, it's not a board game. This is not how it goes. No, no, no. Take a board game. Have people play it and observe. Now imagine there's somebody who is also calling the action, explaining the rules, and drawing the stakes in the game. Then you've created essentially a game show, a game taking place and someone calling the shots. So imagine, if you will, like, let's see, Monopoly or Clue. Those are the two familiar board games to me. So they already did a game show about Monopoly. They've done a thing about Clue. But for instance, you play Monopoly and it's, well, let's see what you have on deck. You are currently at Marvin Gardens and you are 11 spaces away from Boardwalk. If you do that, you might be bankrupt. But if you land on Pennsylvania Avenue, you could buy that. There's also that community chest. There's a few chances and you're very close to go. That could help you out. And then you rolled an 8. That's a double. Okay, you're going up, 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 up. You're at a short line. Well, you have to pay $50 to grant, and then you're good. You do that all the time with Let's Plays. You do that all the time. Clue. So you're asking your question, does anybody have Miss Scarlet with the rope in the conservatory? And then you see yes, no, that kind of thing. You can easily build the stakes on a Clue game show like that. For me, that's what makes it so exciting. You could turn that into a game and a game into a show because you need a game and then you need to present that. That's the show. Hence, game show. It's the favorite thing about this and I like it. That's why I love video games. That's why I love board games. That's why I love all sorts of games in the entire world. And it's like my big niche genre. Of course, I love game shows, but have you played Jackbox Party Pack games? They're fantastic. The Drawfuls, the Quiplashes, the TKOs. Fantastic little games you play with your friends over on Discord. Things like Guard Tick Phone. It's not a Jackbox game, but it's so fantastic. It's like a telephone tag with photos. Additionally, you have board games like Wavelength and Codenames and like Mall Madness even you can go into. And they're fun to watch and fun to see. And I know that there's an Elseworlds Jordan that would talk about board games instead of game shows because I originally wanted to make that a podcast way, way back. Or video games because that same sort of interactivity that you see when you watch a Let's Play video or play a game and you talk it out. You're no different than contestants on a game show when they're talking out an answer. I love that. I love that about game shows. And that's why they have a lot to teach us in this exciting, wacky world. That's why I like them. It's supposed to be light entertainment. You can put that philosophy in Let's Make a Deal. You can put that philosophy on Jeopardy. You can put that on any new game show. Maybe the Quiz with Balls in the summer. But it's fun. It's a fun genre of television, a light entertainment genre of television. And well, I take it seriously enough that I can see where things go wrong, especially in formats and game design, and then play test it well enough. In other regards, I also see it as this entertainment vessel and what can be good and bad. Why people decide to amp it up and blah, 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 and how do you make it bigger and better next season? I hate that. A good game show doesn't really need to do that many gimmicks to stay afloat. I get it, but you don't need it. You don't need that many gimmicks. And that's one of the biggest problems in the modern gaming world is it's so tough. I feel like I'm gonna be sad and cry for a moment here because it's something that goes through my head all the time. I have a degree in television. I love writing. I would consider myself a creative artist, but you know, not good enough. And it doesn't matter which industry, whether it's the television industry, the movie industry, video game industry, there's layoffs and all these sort of cuts, and it's, even if you do something right, you still did it wrong, and I never can quite understand it other than, that's the show business, that's the capitalism, that's the stock has to keep going up, you can never plateau. That same philosophy that we take to game shows, you can never plateau. Imagine if that ever happened with Survivor. Survivor doesn't have the same viewership as it did in the 90s or 2000s. They've been on the air for like 30 years at this point. Maybe 25 years at least. And it pisses me off. It's like, imagine if CBS just pulled the plug because, well, season one was like 30 million homes, and this last season was 9 million. That's not a lot of you. It's still a cult phenomenon. It still has that cult audience. It still stays on the air, and it still gets the job done. People get excited every season, even if it's not attracting new audiences that much, or there's a falling off period. It still picks up the dust. And to me, that's important for game shows. Wheel of Fortune doesn't need to keep doing gimmicks. It could do anything that they want to do. To me, that's the exciting part. That's the necessary part. If it just stays the same sometimes, that's all it needs to do. It doesn't need to be tinkered or twisted. One of my favorite things to do is tinker and twist a game show. But mostly because sometimes the format is broken. Sometimes the scoring mechanism is broken. Sometimes, great show idea, they got the worst game show hosts in the world to cover it. Maybe they got somebody who's a comedian and isn't good at improv. Maybe they got themselves an acclaimed actor who clearly does not want to be there. You see these all the time. And it's so hard to explain the game and the show and the game show aspect, the theme songs, the set dressing, the this, the that. And no one, even in the internet circles that I go to, can break down everything about a game show. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, you don't need to, you don't have to, you probably shouldn't. But it helps to figure out that show. It helps when you understand, like, oh, that's why the show is cool. And sometimes when you see someone who worked on one show work on another, like the director of certain shows going to other projects, certain music composers going to different projects, it's such a great feeling. So, anyway, well, let's go into the game shows. This light entertainment vehicle where you interact with the television and you scream, you shouldn't do this, and play along with things. It's what makes it great. It's why I love it so much. That philosophy that you can also see when you watch people play a game and you go, oh God, don't do that. Oh, I love that. I love that aspect. I love sometimes it elicits a reaction because of people playing the game the way they want to play it. As long as the contestants are having fun, as long as it's a happy, feel-good vibe, I love it. I love happy, feel-good vibes. It doesn't necessarily mean they win all the time, because that would just break the fucking budget. But it doesn't hurt either. One of my when I first did a season finale, The Price is Right was my last episode. Because to me, that is the best game show ever made, because more or less, it ends with somebody winning a showcase unless they both overbid. And it ends on a high note. Most of the time, it ends with the person winning the car and the trip and the refrigerator. It ends now with Drew Carey having his own sign-off. When I last did The Price is Right, Drew Carey did not have a proper sign-off. His sign-off was like, "Hey guys, help control pet population. It's the right thing to do. Thanks for letting us in your home. See you next time on The Price is Right. Goodbye." And that's it. But he's been doing it for almost 20 years at this point. 20 years. You can stop your pitchforks and crying. It's not the same like Bob Barker. He's already... He can do what he wants, though. He's a legacy host. And he has his own call thing. And it's something I really love. And to me, everyone wants that call down thing. Everyone wants to be the... have their own sign-off phrase. A lot of them try to do the joke of spay and neuter your pets. Like Joe McHale did that with spay and neuter your sharks. But on The Price is Right, Drew has this great new one where it is, yes, help control pet population, have your pet spayed or neutered, and take care of yourself. Take care of your physical health. Take care of your mental health. Love yourself. I love you. So we can see you back here on The Price is Right. Take care. Good night. Or goodbye. Or see ya. And if it's a more illicit mental health image. It's one that's like... one that is a farewell. It's a good farewell address in game shows. Steve is like, "We'll see you next time on The Feud. I'm Steve Harvey. Goodbye." You see that with Let's Make a Deal. Yeah, it's Quickie Deals. That's our show. See you next time. Bye-bye. You see that on Wheel of Fortune. "Oh, Vanna, you look fat in that dress. I'm retiring now. Good luck, Seacrest, you whiny bitch. Bye-bye." That's... Or you see the Jeopardy with Ken Jennings. "And that means you're today's Jeopardy champion 2 days, $14,600. And he'll be back tomorrow with two new players on Jeopardy." That's it! At least there's a nice sign-off on Drew. To me, that is something that's gone missing in the world of game shows. It still, to me, elicits a happy response. I want that happy game show vibe. And I don't see it that often. Even though I need to see that often, because that's the kind of thing that makes me love game shows. So, what can game shows teach us? A lot of things. I wrote that down and I forgot what my point was. Okay, so, hey, Jordan, what can game shows teach us? Math. Spelling. Capital cities. No, game shows... are, besides the time capsule, which I always bring up, game shows are also a great, in multiple regards. The thing that it teaches me the most is, a bit of humility. You don't have to know everything. There's shows where it's, you have to be perfect to win the grand prize, but there's other shows where it's like, you're good enough, and that's all you need to do. It's fine. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay for a wrong answer. Yes, you'll get penalized and lose points or lose money. Or you're not getting the point, or you have to do the consequence. But it's not the end of the world. You could still technically win the show or whatever it is. It's a good encapsulation of... struggle, triumph, and just, I hate to say integrity, It's that consistency. It's that you want to keep playing. You want to keep fighting. You want to play another day. That I like it enough, I want to do it again. And I would like the different outcome. It's the opposite of that definition of insanity. That joke of, it's just doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different outcome. But in game shows, you do get a different outcome. Things do change. People change. Contestants change. Their thoughts change. Everybody is different, and that's what makes it great. Game shows are fantastic because you have people from all walks of life playing this game show, and they cooperate with each other to play. And in social game shows, it's all fucked up, but at least you see the reunion shows, and they're not really backstabby. They're not really assholes, except for that weird position in the 2000s when they were just being gaslit all the time by the producers. For me, game shows are fantastic. They're neat. On television, you can film like 100 of them and you're done for a season. You're good. On the internet, some of them, like Jet Lag, you could just, if you have the budget, you can start making new ones. Same with Game Changer. Others, it's one and done's, like on Netflix or Amazon Prime, and you're like, but I want another season of that, and you just never quite get it. For instance, a Mr. Beast, the Beast Games. As this recording, I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's on the air. I don't know if it's good. Based on the press release, it's Squid Games, 1,000 people playing different elimination games until one wins $5 million. Whoa, that's more than $4.56 million that's won on Netflix's Squid Game The Challenge. So Beast Game The Challenge sounds better to me. But yeah, it defeats a lot of the purpose of these shows. A lot of game shows don't need to throw money at it to work. As much as I want bigger budgeted shows and, hey, don't give away $10,000 as the grand prize, give away $25,000, give away $50,000, $100,000. There's still ways you can make it better, ways you can make it more unique. And I think we're at that period now where that's not going to happen anytime soon. Because you're just going to repeat the processes over and over again. Well, it worked here. We do it again and hope for the best. And that's just true with not just like Beast Games, which I'm assuming is just going to be like the same challenges that you see on the YouTube channel. Like that 100 cube challenge. Oh, they're playing Jenga. Oh, they're doing a social game. They're doing Carrot in a Box. It's just, ugh. I've already seen these played before. I don't need them. I don't need them, folks. Anyway, for me, a lot of game shows can't fight on the internet and vice versa. The internet's just not good for these kind of people. So that leads me to think that a lot of game shows are just not going to work out on the internet. I always get bummed out. But the ones that will work are the ones that can adapt, can be unique, can change slightly, and still be fun. I think the best kind of game show that could survive in the internet age is definitely The Price is Right, because The Price is Right has, what, like 70 mini-games? 70 pricing games at its disposal? So, hey, here's the Plinko, and then here's Rat Race, and here's Pay the Rent, and here's Half Off, and here's Grand Game, and here's Gridlock, and here's Double Cross, and here's Grocery Game, and here's Hit Me, and here's Bump, and here's Flip Flop, and here's Now and Then, and here is Coming or Going, and here's One Right Price, and here is Pick a Number, and here's Pick a Pair. I watch a lot of game shows. Pointless. No. For me, you need that variety. That's going to be the secret on a lot of these shows. Additionally, it has to be more international, I guess, because the budgets and global spheres is what needs to happen. Additionally, what's that show? Well, it's getting late. I was watching, well, not Schlong. Schlong would be a good example because that's a variety show. Schlong could work on the internet because if it's like a Twitch stream that's like 8 hours long and they're playing football and then they're playing bowling, then they're doing a quiz show and then doing a music trivia show, it works because you have those varieties. I'm trying to fucking blank. What is the fucking, what show am I thinking of at the moment? No. Pass. Guts. We'll say Guts. You, that's the secret. If you can do variety, light entertainment, fun for everybody, interactive television shows, it should work. And for me, that's kind of what I want to crack. That's the fascinating, like, end goal for me is to figure that out. I think I can do that, but I'm going to need all the time and patience in the world, and sometimes that's not cut out here. We have so many game shows. There's cruel game shows. There's joyful game shows, romantic game shows. Almost every genre of movie or television, there is some sort of game show version of that. I mean, RuPaul's Drag Race is technically a game show. If you think about it, it's formatted. It's no different than Chopped. No different than American Idol. No different than Star Search back in the 80s. Or Queen for a Day. Things like that would happen. And I love that we see the next generation, and the next variant, and the next things to keep it fresh, to keep it fascinating, to keep it interesting. To me, that is why I love talking game shows all these years. There's always something new, a new story to tell, a new thing that makes it interesting. I wish I had more time to talk about every game show. Some of them I can only talk for 5 minutes. Others, 50, 2 hours. And I wish I could do a better job. I wish game shows... I wish game shows would hire me to do... No, I wish game shows would get better online. I wish people would be less dismissive of game shows. And I wish the game show fandom would be less creepy and weird. I get it. Like, repetition, pattern recognition, and all that. I get it. No, that's... Look, talking to someone who has hyperfocus in game shows, I get it. I get it. But it's... You're good. You don't need to. Okay? You don't need to get upset when they change a font on a scorecard. You don't have to get upset that Wheel of Fortune still has $250 for a vowel. It's fine. But, of course, make it $1,000, and now you have Jeopardy in the game, and then you can actually add more values to the wheel. So maybe it's like $1,200 or $1,400, and you have a different game going. What do I know? Nothing. It got me thinking. As we're closing this up, because I wanted this to be a quick farewell and thank you. I if it's not going to be me that breaks this internet game show thing, what do I think game shows will be like in the future? It's always the fascinating end thing I like to talk about. I think, realistically, let's be realistic here. Game shows will not be going away anytime soon. They're kind of a cheap genre of television, just like a chat show, a talk show, a morning news show. There's always going to be some sort of variant on that in some regard, even if it's some shitty Man on the Street, Street Smartest bullshit show. They'll figure out a way to make that exist. So, a lot of game shows will be canceled, or they won't lack the budget, so they have to cut corners or get canceled. A lot of these GSN originals will be sold off and repackaged because they're easy to put on Pluto or Tubi or whatever these fast channels are. The way to see game shows now, I think, will have to be the same way you see GSN, Buzzer, or any of these Pluto TV things. You're going to have to see a lot of variety of modern game shows put into these little channels and be used as background noise. Because it works. A lot of people are cutting the cord. Let's get into that real thing. A lot of people are cutting the cord. They can't afford cable television anymore. They have 18 streaming services. But there's still an NBC. There's still a CBS. There's still an ABC. And I think that's going to be true with every world thing. There's still going to be a BBC, a ITV, a Channel 4. It might switch hands of ownerships and whatever, but there's still going to be that sort of channel. Because there's still a beneficial good with that, with the local news, with current events. There's always going to be that sort of need for a cable. And as long as there's a need for that channel, there's always going to be need for television shows and movies and things. Rather, it's going to be in-house, or they're just going to buy shit from streaming services and movies and put it on there. You don't know. But game shows are inexpensive enough that they could end up being on these channels more often. Maybe less money, maybe more money, you never know. But for me, the game shows won't be going away anytime soon on television, even if viewership continues to gradually decline. A lot of these people go, oh, back in the day, Saturday morning cartoon, blah, blah, blah. You gotta face facts here. It's over. Those days are gone. What do you watch on Disney Plus? What do you watch on YouTube? What do you watch on Amazon Prime? So, hey, heads up. If you want to make a good-ass game show, go to where the eyeballs are and start there. What would a TikTok game show be like? What would a Twitch game show be like? What would a YouTube game show be like? And go from there. Yes, there's examples. You can say Survive the Night. You could say, well, then Singled Out get tried to be as a YouTube series and flop. Yes, but they tried and they didn't have the moderation. They didn't have the networking. They didn't have the appeal. You gotta stop with the hey, it's the game show you remember as a kid. None of these kids give a shit. Reboots, revivals, they don't matter anymore. I will scream it. Nobody wants reboots. Make new shit. IP, I get it. If you're gonna do a game show, do something great. If you're gonna reboot a game show, come up with a new way to do it. What is the all-new Concentration gonna be like? That's how you get seats. And it's tough because those don't sell well. Ask Supermarket Sweep of Leslie Jones. 2 seasons and that's it. It happens all the time. Double Dare was 2 seasons and it got axed. You don't do reboots unless you could sell it and it can have longevity like $100,000 Pyramid. Otherwise, no. So, for me, if it was me, I would focus on where people are watching and make something on there. Figure out the budget costs for that, figure out the persona, and work from there. For instance, if it was me, here's where my brain comes from. YouTube used to be 15 minutes, and now it's big, long video essays and bullshit. For me, I think the one thing people love about YouTube is, if you're going to a game show, is that sort of, I know shit, and I like it. So why don't you reboot, like, Remote Control, and you revolve it around internet videos and internet personalities? Because Remote Control originally was TV trivia, but because everything's online now, sure, you can ask questions about, like, Mandalorian, But I think kids will be more gravitated towards a Hot Ones or for a good mythical morning, for instance. Because they've seen Mr. Beast. They have seen Mark Rober glitter bomb videos. So they're a little familiar with the shit. That's the focus. You can do that. It will pull. Because, hey, you have a hook now. People don't know this guy. Well, this guy doesn't know this guy. And you're there because you already have the influencer bump. TikTok. If it was me, I would try and incorporate things like the duets feature. I would try and do something that's like Taskmaster. Well, you have 10 minutes to record this skit, and then you have like a mini video panel. Something like that. Or a dance challenge. Or if you're going to do an actual in-studio game show, you have to come up with a game show that is, I think 10 minutes is their limit. Something that could captivate people in 3 minutes. You have to make a 3-minute game show. Because that's the amount of time people care for TikTok before they quit. So make a 3-minute game show. Can you make a game show where you care about a contestant, explain the rules, go through the game, and complete it in 3 minutes? Very difficult. Can be done, though. Look at the chase. For me, you got to think of that. Like, for instance, if it was me, you're doing TikTok. You get two people. One is the in-studio expert, and then you have your contestant of the day, 60 seconds to answer as many questions, and then they have to beat that. Like a mini chase, but that's it. Who knows the most about Pedro Pascal? You have one little fan, and they answer like 7 questions right, and then you have this expert in pop culture, and they get 5 right. Oh no, they lost, and you win $5,000 or something like that. That's how you would approach it. Additionally, Twitch, well, they're more longer form live play it out, so you can be more strategic. You can have an all-day affair. You could have something that's a 4-hour game show. That's how you can do a million-second quiz reboot. But not a million-second quiz. You could actually kind of make it like a tournament. Like, hey, we got 16 YouTube to play the game. It works. You could do it if you really try. Whatever that lyrics go in Pokemon to be a master. So for me, there is a ways you can make it. And there is ways that if you break the mold correctly, holy shit, you've just created the next future of game shows. Now, a good chunk of internet videos, you do a few seasons and then you're done. You're a few years and you have to work on the next one. You become old-timey, unless you're Homestar Runner. Folks, Homestar Runner's still around. The saddest thing currently is that Rooster Teeth went down. And I thought Rooster Teeth would be one of those longevity accounts, but hey, Warner Brothers, am I right? And I think you could still do that. You could still come up with something that's like that. That's the formula for Giant Bomb. That was the that's how you do Kind of Funny, I think. The Dropout Nebula. If you do something like that, you could have made a new G4. And then that new G4, you have your new print magazine, and then you have game shows. Not difficult. For something like Disney Plus or Hulu or Netflix, you have to make it these monumental epic adventures. You can't just have it be background noise. So a lot of these shows that you'll see on Disney Plus have to be epic reality competitions. They have to be these cutthroat million-dollar extravaganzas, because that's how you see it's a longevity take seriously kind of show. But I want to know, like, hey, what if Paramount Plus actually has their own game show that's like 10 episodes long and it's exclusive? That's how Peacock got The Traitors, and The Traitors is this very successful reality format. Can they do it again? with an in-studio quiz, for instance. That's what I want to know, and I believe you can. You just have to solve that puzzle. For me, there's a lot of data, there's a lot of choices, there's a lot of things you could do. So many game shows I haven't seen! Oh god, I'm dying here! But I know. I know in the future, even if I'm dead because I'm choking and coughing listening in this, it tells me that game shows will be okay. Some people can't figure it out. It's the deal or no deal approach, just throw shitloads of money at it, hope for the best. Or like when Mr. Beast is doing like a big battle royale series. Here's the thing I don't like is, well, you're crushing dreams. So like on Squid Games, 456 people are playing, but 455 lost. You have to accommodate 455 losers plus one winner, and that you can't really do that. And with all the production to handle, you have to juggle so many people. It just can't be done. So, for me, that's what I'm excited about. What is the future of game shows going to be like? What is the future of game shows? What is it my future? I do not know that. But I love this television genre because, to me, there's always something new, always something interactive, a new game, a new shiny toy, or a new shiny floor, if we really think about the sets. For me, that's what I like about it. And that's why I like talking about it for so many years. And it sucks that I'm making this my final episode. It's rambly. It's not a TED Talk. It's not researched. And if we all look at this episode of Weakest Link. No, it's not. We don't need to. All you have to do is watch a game show. You kind of get the point. There are better ones out there. There are worse ones out there. But most game shows are kind of the same. And it's a fun thing to think about, a fun thing to play, fun game to think while playing, and all sorts of things in the middle. It's been an honor to talk about it for this long. I want to do it forever. I hope one day we can. But for now, not all the time, this is goodbye. This is going to be the last episode for a while until maybe, hey, I just got to talk about this game show. So that's it. I love this genre. I love making friends all over the world because of this. I love comments about game shows. I love being a reply guy on social media whenever someone brings it up. But some things are more important right now. My health is just like it. So I'm going to do what Drew Carey has told us all to do. All of these episodes now. And that is help control the pet population. Have your pet spayed or neutered. And hey, take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health, your physical health. Love yourself. So we can see you back right here on The Price is Right. Or I guess game shows, I suppose, if I ever return. But yes, that's what I need to do. I need to take that mental health break. I need to take that physical health break. All the sleep, all the crying, the therapy, all of that. So hopefully one day in the future, you'll see me again. And instead of being half asleep talking game shows, maybe I'm rambling about what the hell was with Boom. Why did they throw spaghetti sauce on people? Was that really necessary? Why couldn't they have done confetti? Why couldn't they just do one of those air cannon effects? We won't know. And it's not mine to figure out. So for now, thank you so much for letting me into your ears all these years. Hopefully, I'll be back better than ever with cool ideas that people will like. And if this is your first episode, check out some of the archive. I watched a shitload of game shows, and a lot of them were good. Some of them are okay. And I will still be writing reviews, and I'll still be scoring game shows. That's not going away. One day, the prophecy foretells, I will be the Dave Meltzer of game shows. And we will see how that goes. Until then, take care. Big smooch. Mwah.